Course east nor east, skipper.
Thanks, quartermaster. I'll take the wheel myself for a spell. Right, Helms.
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
I sent for you, Kendall, because this time I'm not asking, I'm not suggesting. I am telling you that if you don't stay away from my daughter, I'll personally see that you do not reach Jamaica alive.
Dr. Lawler had been right. The Major was in a worse temper than I'd ever seen him, which for Challoner was saying quite a lot. I'd been on deck talking with Sharon Challoner when I'd received the message that her father wanted to see me at once in his cabin. I'd told Sharon to stay on deck with Lawler and gone below. It was mid-afternoon of the day we'd been scheduled to bunker at Papeete, but now Tahiti was behind us, as the Tangmar headed toward Panama and Jamaica. I couldn't blame Goddard for his decision to bypass Papeete. It was obvious that the only way of keeping the crew aboard was to remain at sea, at least until I'd located the killer who sailed with us. Anyway, we could always bunker at another port if we had to. At least it meant that I had another 2 weeks or more to track down the murderer of Miller and Lee Blake. And, of course, 2 weeks of protecting the passengers. And a very angry Major Challoner. Look, Major, threatening me doesn't solve anything.
I'm not merely threatening, Kendall. I mean it. I will not have you even talking with Chardon.
And just how do you propose to prevent it?
With this, if I have to.
You leave me no option, Challoner. I'll take that gun.
Make one move, Kendall, and I shall blow your head off.
I'm going to take it. Come on, hand it over.
Keep back!
Sorry. The gun, Challoner.
If you're fool enough to try and take it, then take what's...
I said give it to me.
Get back!
Thanks, Major. I'll give it back to you when we reach Jamaica.
You're a brave man, Kendall. I could have killed you.
Now, just for the record, Major Challoner, you're going to listen to me. I'm not in the habit of allowing anyone to threaten me, and that includes you. You're not any different to any other passenger on this ship, except that you're a dashed sight more unpleasant than most. I could have you confined to your cabin for the rest of the voyage for this, but I'm not letting it go any further.
I don't ask any favors of you.
Or anyone else, eh? The self-sufficient Major Challoner, who seems to derive his greatest satisfaction in causing trouble. Doesn't it occur to you that I've got enough on my plate at the moment? Wasting time listening to your stupid threats is keeping me from the job I've got to do, to find the murderer.
You won't ever find him.
And what makes you so sure?
Because it's obvious that he's killed for the last time. Now only wants to cover his tracks.
For Pete's sake, what gives you that idea?
The fact that he or she tried to kill you. Filled with that ridiculous bluff of yours that you knew the killer's identity. Went to your cabin to see that you never divulged it. Instead, Lee Blake died. But it proves to me you are the only one in danger now. I maintain the rest of us are quite safe.
Doesn't it also occur to you that with me out of the way, the killer would have a free hand? Mightn't that have been the reason for wanting me dead?
I prefer to believe otherwise.
Because you're hoping that I will get mine, is that it?
I don't care what happens to you, provided you keep away from my daughter.
Make one wrong move, Major Challoner. Do anything that I can sheet home to you. Make one more threat or cause the slightest trouble of any kind. And you'll be confined to this cabin for the rest of the voyage. Is that clear?
I think Captain Goddard would have something to say about that.
He'd back me to the hilt. He loathes the sight of you. You're a loud-mouthed, unpleasant old man, Major. You've caused all the trouble on this ship you're going to. From now on, you either behave or take the consequences.
You have the faintest idea to whom you're talking, Kendall.
Just think it over.
Of course you're looking for an excuse, I realize that. And there'd be nothing to stop you and Sharon.
But for the fact that Sharon Challoner bears your name, I find it hard to believe that she's your daughter.
All right, Kendall. But remember this. I meant what I said. And taking my gun won't stop me. I'll find another way. So if you value your life, stop even talking to Sharon. In the army, when I gave an order, my men knew better than to disregard it. I'm giving you an order now.
Skipper, if you can't keep your mind on the game, why play it? Now watch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that, I'd say, is my game, right?
All right, Chief, you win.
You know, inviting me to join him in a game of drafts is no fun if you won't concentrate, Skipper.
How can I concentrate? Answer me that. Murders, mutiny. I'd like to get hold of that fella Jones and break his neck.
Oh, Kendall took care of that for you.
Jones is staying in the brig for the rest of the voyage. It's where he should have been the whole time.
Well, we won't have to worry about him anymore.
Who do you think is the killer, Chief?
I've no idea.
Kendall seems pretty sure it's one of the crew. Even though I've pointed out that I know this crew. I know the kind of men they are, the way they behave in any given circumstances.
That's a big thing to claim, Skipper. You didn't know Jones, for instance.
Jones? I don't regard him as crew. He only joined for this trip.
Oh, you mean the old hands?
Well, wouldn't you vouch for them, Chief?
Not anymore. Not after what's happened aboard this ship. It's getting that way that I don't even trust my own shadow.
Yeah, I know how you feel. Anyway, we've doubled the guards in the companionways for the rest of the trip. We'll have to both take our turn, Cregan.
Aye. Well, suits me. You know, it seems that everyone on this ship is watching everyone else. Anyway, how does Kendall know that one of the guards might not be... Well, it could be, couldn't it?
That's why he's using them in threes. Anyway, it's pretty obvious that the killer wouldn't do anything like breaking into the cabins at night. He seems to prefer to wait his time until he can find his victim alone.
Aye. You want to play again?
Yeah. All right, if you like.
You know, maybe you'll play better if we have a small wager on the result, eh?
You know, Cregan, when we find this killer, if we do, I'm going to be hard put to keep my hands off him.
Well, he'll have to take his chance in a court of law, Skipper, and... Well, who's to know what it is that drives a man to kill?
You mean you can feel pity for him?
Aye, I can feel pity for anyone who's suffering.
Well, I'll be... All this killer is doing is causing suffering.
Probably. For all I know, he thinks he's got a good reason to kill.
£1,000,000 worth of reason. It's greed, nothing more.
Aye. Aye, well, if it's one of the passengers, then... I'd be inclined to agree.
If it is, then you don't think it is either.
Skipper, look, we've sailed together a long time. We understand the sea. You, the skippering, and me, the engines that drive the Tangmar on our way. Now, why don't we stick to that? Murder's way out of your line, that's way out of mine. Leave it to Kendall, it's his job.
Hmm. Whose move is it?
You. First this time, you first.
I'm beginning to wish I'd never sailed with anything but cargo.
Beginning to? I'd wish that right from the first. You know, people mean trouble, and people who stand to inherit a deal of money make a lot of trouble. For themselves and for others. Greedy, wee, clawing hands reaching out for money they haven't earned by the sweat of their brow. Money they've no right to.
Chief, don't tell me you'd refuse a share of £1,000,000.
Oh, it's never likely to happen, so I don't know. But I do know, when this voyage is over, I never want to hear the name of Wherryman again. My wife came into money, and it ruined our marriage. She got ideas above her station. I have seen what money can do to people. And it doesn't surprise me to find they'd kill to get more. Aye, well, make your move, Skipper. Oh, and talking of money. How much are you prepared to wager on the result?
Now, it's easy to forget that there is anything wrong up here on the deck, Martin. Easy to forget everything.
You are sure, aren't you?
Surer than I've ever been. And I'm sorry if it seems to have been too fast for you.
I would never have believed it possible.
Well, Martin, anything is possible. Even that you should admit you cared for me.
It's not much of a life for you, you know, being a doctor's wife. You'll have to put up with being alone and just for the loss.
I've never heard such a romantic proposal.
I should have been able to do better than that.
You have the night to help you. Everything that the romantic novel prescribes. A moon, stars, the water rushing by.
Elona, Would you mind very much if I kissed you?
I would mind very much if you did not.
Elona. I never believed it could happen like this. Oh, I love you, Elona. My darling. Elona. I wish I was the kind of smooth-talking character who could, well, you know, go down on his knees and I could tell you that your hair was lovely and that your eyes are like... Well, does pools of moonlight sound too silly?
It sounds wonderful.
I'll be awfully good to you, Elona.
Oh, hold me close, Martin.
Elona.
I will make you a promise now, Martin. Martin, it is such a gentle name, it becomes you. Martin, Dr. Martin Lawler. I promise you that as long as I live, I will work only to make you happy. Thank you for proposing as you did. Doctor's wife. I was never asked to be a wife before. And you said it as if it was the most natural thing in the world. Oh, Martin, no matter what the future holds for us, I shall remember this night forever.
It was quiet on deck. The water swirled past and the engines throbbed. One would never expect death to be a passenger on this passage of the Tangmar.